is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
I forgot to mention, by the way, no real big weekend stories back in L.A. Friday. The Harold and Carol Pump Foundation Cancer Research.
Say that slower, please.
Harold and Carol Pump Foundation. They raise money to test and fight cancer. It's a wonderful cause. Test cancer. You get what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot you were there on Friday.
I went down.
Were you there when you were texting me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Flew down Friday. Quick trip. Went down Friday. Came back Saturday. Everyone's mad there's no sound, by the way.
There's sound now. Good about 30 seconds, jerks.
How you doing?
I'm kidding. Thank you for telling me.
No real, God, they freak out, though, but God bless them.
No, I'm actually happy they do. Right. I actually do really appreciate it.
Earl spelling it out. S-O-U-N-D. No sound on the YouTube, which, by the way, you can watch as just search Cage to Cage.
You have no sound, Earl.
No real great stories. This is a weird one because I was one of, like, I think six people that were masked up.
Yeah, we talked about this on
Friday. I felt very out of place.
Did you feel like the nerd?
Yes. That's exactly what I felt like. But I'm in this giant, it's the room where they have the Golden Globes. It's very...
fancy.
It's very fancy.
Very fancy.
And, you know, you're in a room with, 500 people?
Do they serve little weenies as hors d'oeuvres?
No. Damn it. Our table, our people were Willie Gault, which Willie...
Raiders legend.
And Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes was at our table as well.
Better than Jim Gray.
Much better than Jim Gray.
Did you talk to Matt?
I did.
Is he coming on the show?
We had a nice conversation. He's going to do some stuff up here, charitable-wise, and we talked a little bit about that and some other things, too. Not without complications, that one either, by the way.
Good.
Mike Tyson was at the table next to us. That was the Eddie Murphy of this year. I didn't stalk Mike Tyson, trust me on that, but did try to see if there was an angle to get a picture with Mike.
Okay.
Didn't happen.
Well, as someone who has had a picture with Mike, I can tell you how to do it. Just approach him. Mike is like the nicest human being alive.
I have. See, remember the whole Jim Gray story? That
right.
One of the things I had asked Mike was, hey, Mike, would you mind taking a picture? And his response was, and I'm not doing a Mike Tyson voice. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to, if you take a picture, everyone's going to come over and take a picture. Let's just see what happens later. That was literally a quote from him. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm good.
AKA, I'm not approaching you again, ever.
I would say the highlight / low light of the weekend, because I came back on a friend's plane, a smaller plane. I guess there's a certain amount of hazing that goes on if you've never flown on this plane before. Whoever hasn't flown on the plane before sits up front. And by up front, I mean next to the pilot. I was in the co-pilot
seat. I can't imagine you had any anxiety over that.
I immediately landed and drank about three bottles of water because hydration in me had sweated out of my hands.
Did they give you the little wings?
No. But I wore the headset with the mic.
Oh, I'm a broadcaster. I know how to do this.
All I will say about that is this. Flying is scary enough for some people, but at least when you're in the regular part of the plane, you can close your window if you want. You're in a tube. You can't really see. It's different. When you're in the front, it's all window.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in front and to the side of you is sky and ground.
By the way, that's how I like my pilots to fly, seeing things.
Right. It is a completely different ballgame. And when you hear the chatter from the ground control to Major Tom and all that, back and forth, that's interesting because you hear also all the beeps that you don't hear in the cabin. Anytime a beep happened, I freaked out. Like, did our landing?
We're dying.
What are we doing? It was not a pleasurable experience. It was as pleasurable as it can be. The pilot was super nice. Everything was great. I did not enjoy myself at all.
Be honest.
What?
Were you hoping he was going to hold your hand at some point in the flight?
Dude,
because I would have wanted him to hold mine.
If he'd have held my hand, all he would have gotten was an icy, sweaty,
Ew.
Massive thing. I was cold and clammy.
Ew.
That just
gross,
dude. It's just not. No, nope.
Not happening again.
A lot of people, I think, would. I posted a video of us landing.
He's gonna walk back next time they make him do this.
I'm not lying.
Uber home from LA.
Dude, let me tell you something. The fact that I know it would have cost me $139 to rent a Hyundai Elantra and drop it off at the budget rent-a-car in Sacramento would have taken me 6 hours and 34 minutes from Burbank to here. I looked at it on my way to the airport and seriously considered renting a car.
In the iconic words of Christy in our YouTube chat, oh, I'm Dave. And flying
private
planes. Yeah,
I knew that was
going
to happen, too. What do you want Soundgarden? Me to do? Yeah, Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
So, Larry, are you going to be a radio broadcaster, or will you be back out on the football field?
For now, I'll be a radio broadcaster. Jim, to be honest with you, I just don't have the urge to play right now. I don't know how I'll feel in September, October, November, moving forward. But as of today, I just don't have the urge. And, you know, I think I have to be respectful of that. Football's not one of those games you want to walk out there and play and not be fully engaged and ready to prepare and do the things necessary that you need to do.
Nah, don't worry, Larry. About a month into this industry, you'll be clamoring back to go to the NFL.
But isn't what everybody's going to glom on to as of right now, don't have the urge.
Yeah, well, and then he says it. I don't know how I'm going to feel come September or October. If I am a Cardinals fan, which I'm not, I'm sure they are waiting with bated breath for Larry Fitzgerald, especially like if that team starts out 4-2, right, in the thick of the division.
Sure.
And they need a little help at receiver. Don't you think Larry Fitzgerald will put that jersey on? If he sees that team winning and could use him, don't you think that will probably motivate him? Doesn't winning motivate the great ones? Especially when I still think Larry does have a little bit to give to the game. He's not what he was, clearly, but come on. I think Larry plays this year.
I don't think we ever see Larry Fitzgerald.
Wow, you think he's full Calvin Johnson, huh?
No, because except Calvin that, Johnson's no, right.
Three times the career as far as length goes.
Right. No, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
He's done all he needs to do. And Larry Fitzgerald is my favorite non-49er of this generation. I love Larry Fitzgerald. I'm in the Larry Fitzgerald fan club. I loved him his whole career. He is the epitome of class, dignity, intelligence, athleticism. Like, there is no downside. Nobody, you know what has never been said? You know, Larry Fitzgerald's great, but...
Yeah.
Like, ever. There is no but to Larry Fitzgerald... He is the total...
But both the player and the human being.
Right. He is the total package of everything. And I'll tell you who Larry reminds... I look at Larry Fitzgerald and I see Vince Carter. And let me explain. I see two first ballot Hall of Famers who were tremendously influential in their sport, mm-hmm. who I think can do as good... And by the way, a different level, but a little bit of the late, great Kobe Bryant, who, by the way, today is his birthday... These are people that are insanely successful in their sport, and I am 100% confident. Like, if they were a stock and they decide anything they try to do, they're going to be successful.
They're a blue chip stock in that sake.
I don't think Larry Fitzgerald needs to play football anymore. I think Larry Fitzgerald can be a network broadcaster, make a ton of money, and play golf the rest of his life. I think Larry Fitzgerald can go buy a team. I think Larry Fitzgerald can go back to Minnesota and do some things there. I wouldn't surprise me at all if he joined an ownership group or two over there.
For sure. The Cardinals should be trying to get him into their group.
I completely agree, but I'm betting he's going to do a lot of stuff.
Larry Fitzgerald, the greatest Cardinal of all time.
I mean, Kurt Warner is going to have to say something about that, but no. Was it Conrad Dobler? I'm trying to go through my great Cardinal players.
Yeah, that's not a big
index.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I think so. Okay. I would vote for him. Anyways, I don't think he needs to do anything except do what he wants to do, and it doesn't sound like that's football. Number two.
Soundgarden.
The fans are awesome getting me out there, but they also have to realize, you know, Andy's a human being too. Andy's out there on the field right now. So I really just think it's kind of disrespectful to Andy, you know, them cheering my name out like that. They have to, you know, trust in coach to, you know, make sure he's making the right decisions, you know, just cheer Andy on. Like, that's not helping Andy play better than cheering my name. That's not doing none of that. So my advice to them would be just cheer for who's out there playing on the field.
That's a very mature statement.
It's the correct answer. It's also the answer from a guy who knows he's going to be starting at some point.
Sure. I like hearing that. I do. That's yeah. That's a maturity for a guy who's never even played in the NFL.
The only thing, though, if I'm you know, being a Bears fan, which I'm not, hearing him say, yeah, you got to trust in coach, I'd imagine there's a lot of Bears fans at this point that don't trust in Matt Nagy. I'm sure there's a lot of Bears fans that heard that, like, wait, you want us to trust that guy?
Yeah. All right, number three, real quick.
Oh, we got to go.
Oh, we got to go?
We
okay, we'll
go.
Take a break then.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, number three was going to be Kyle Shanahan, and we've already played the clip. We'll probably play it again in three for madness as well, because that's we're going to talk about, should Kyle quit screwing around and just name a week one starter and end the whole speculation? In addition, a little bit on the Kings schedule, and why the A's got a lot to cover here. And why the A's shouldn't feel that bad, or A's fans at least. We'll do all that next.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
All right, coming up at 7:35, we'll hit halftime. We'll get back into the Niners and Chargers. Also, the Big Ten releasing their policy on COVID forfeitures of games.
Oh.
Now, you know which side I'm generally on, but I'm not entirely sure about this policy. I think it's gonna breathe. There's gonna be some cheating going on.
Huh.
Yeah, and there's now a lot of incentive for that as well. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Giants and Bay Bridge, the A's and the Bay Bridge, and everything that happened over the weekend, along with the Kings schedule. That's all coming up in the next half of the program. Right now, it's Jay Marshall, who's getting some time off, by the way, I should add. He's getting some time off this week. You're taking Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, is that correct?
Yeah, man.
Look at you. Good for you.
Look at me.
You know what? If you're gone, I think I'm going to take some time off.
I mean, let me clear it. Listen, you don't take enough time off, so I recommend you do it.
I'm gonna have to create a chat room privately, because we are going to be, we're just going to go to national radio Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. We have
private chat room.
Right, yeah. Well, I feel for everybody who wants, you know, all the people in the YouTube chat, can we just run YouTube that morning, but just have it not be on anything? They can just chat and follow along with the national guys?
No, because someone has to be here to turn it on.
Oh, no one's going to. I gotcha. Okay. Jay Mars, three for madness.
Should the Kings, the Sacramento ones, have had a national TV game scheduled this year?
No.
I agree.
The funny thing would be just to go to the next question, but no. They suck.
Yeah.
They're not good, and I'm talking about last season, and I'm talking about
the 14 seasons prior to that?
Yeah, like, they're not good. Now, you could argue, like Zach Lowe does his league pass rankings every year, Kings will be on there again.
Sure.
They could be a very fun team to watch. But you have to earn your way into national TV, or you have to be in a major market. The Kings have none of those.
You have to be an identifier. You have to be something that the broadcast looks at like, hey, if we air Kings versus it's going to bring eyeballs.
Correct.
The problem is that's not happening right now because they suck and have sucked. Nobody, the casual fan, as I like to say, because that's who tunes into national televised games,
right,
are not clamoring to see the Kings play.
They're not. Now, here's why I don't. I'd love for every game to be on national TV, but I, as a Sacramento honk, of course I want people in Connecticut watching us. But here's the duro. I'm old enough to remember the year 1999 when the Kings had, I think, no nationally televised games. Guess what? If you're good and the Kings do surprise this year, the TV networks are real quick to start adding you into games second half.
You'll get flexed in.
If the Kings are even .500 this year, they'll get flexed into national TV games. Don't worry about it. They got to earn it.
Yeah, if they show relevancy, right, like you said, they're flirting with the playoffs. Yep. You know, Fox is having an amazing season. All the storylines you could think of that would be positive. Yep. Yeah, they'll get flexed into a few games.
But yeah, people freak out. I get it. I understand it.
There's that sensitive side, like you say, we call them the diehards, but really it's just kind
of
like.
But I'm one of I understand the sensitivity. I truly understand the sensitivity. Because,
but then your common sense kicks in, right?
The common sense kicks in. It's like, no, I get it. You know what? Earn the national TV gig. All right, number two.
Question two.
The A's lost 2-3, but was the weekend really a draw for them?
It was. Here's why. First off, they were one win away from winning the series. I mean, just simple math. It's not like they got swept, number one. Number two, they've split their last four. Yeah, the last game in Chicago and that horrible trip there with Chris Bassett. Then they lose 2-3 to the best team in baseball, and they barely did. They weren't blown out. They weren't embarrassed. Sure, the bully gave up a couple of pinch-hit eighth-inning home runs. But you're talking, again, the A's outscored the Giants in the series. Not to mention the fact that the Astros lost yesterday, so the A's are sitting here 3.5 out. And they start out a series with Seattle, who's not a bad team anymore. They're 67-58. This is not your grandpappy's Mariners. This would be a tough series. I think when you look at going into the series, obviously the A's would have rather won 2 or 3. Obviously they would have rather swept the series. But they hung, and this isn't just, I know it's going to sound, what do you call it? There's no condescension here. I'm being dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
They hung neck and neck with the best team in baseball by a decent margin. They were neck and neck with them, and they were 2 hits away, really, truly, from sweeping this series. I'm more worried about the A's mentally right now than I am worried about the A's on the field. And I think they can come out of that series holding their heads high and look at the rest of their schedule and say, let's go kick some you-know-what sea bass.
I don't think that's what's going to happen, though. So I don't really look at it as like, oh, they drew. I think this was a missed opportunity on their part, and I think they know that. They had a chance to sweep the Giants.
Yeah.
Like you said, one, that does great things for your mentals coming off of that White Sox and Rangers road trip.
Sure.
It does great things for you to sweep the best team in baseball. But it does really bad things for you mentally when you could have won both of those games and it's pinch-hit home runs that beat you. Now you're going into a situation where you're tied for the second wild card spot. You didn't gain any ground on the Astros when you had an opportunity to. And like you said, the Mariners are not a pushover right now. The Mariners are very much still in the thick of things, and who the hell thought we'd be saying that on August 23rd?
Sure.
So I get it. I don't think this was a good weekend for the A's. I think this was actually a really bad weekend for the A's.
All right, we'll talk more about that at 8:05. Number 3.
Question 3.
Should Kyle Shanahan name a starter now?
Well, let's see what he said.
No, I'm not making that announcement. Let's try it though. Whenever I feel like it. Not tonight.
All right. The question is, should Kyle Shanahan name a starter? The answer is no. No. You know when Kyle Shanahan should name the starter? And I know it'll be earlier than this. He should name the starter when they announce the starting lineup.
It's a good idea.
At the first game. Here's the thing. You know who knows who's starting week one? Almost certainly Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. All right? Even if Jimmy and Trey don't know, good. Compete. Compete. Good. Compete. Bring out the best in each other. Go at it. Fine. That helps the ball club. But there's no advantage as a coach for Kyle Shanahan to let the media know so that they can write stories. Because you know what else that does? That tells their week one opponent who's starting. And you know, in the NFL, which is a game of inches, I've heard this before, every advantage counts. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, although it's not the end-all be-all, I want the team I'm playing in week one, I want them having a scheme for both.
Right.
I want them to have to look at the pocket guy, and I want them to have to look at the pocket guy plus the guy who can run a little bit.
And I agree with you. With this caveat, though, I think Kyle Shanahan should be having the conversation with whoever he knows is going to be the starting quarterback, because I think Kyle Shanahan knows, right?
I feel like he probably has.
And that's it. So if guy or guys are informed, I have zero issue with him not leaving
There's
it to the media.
Zero issue. There's no strategic advantage in him naming a starter anytime before game one. Make the Detroit Lions prep for it all. That's it. It's dumb. It's just impatient fans, and I can be one of them. I want to know.
And the best part of that is we're likely to get better Dan Campbell quotes if he's preparing for two quarterbacks than one.
That is 100% correct. All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
All right, we hit halftime of the program. King's schedule release. We got a Bay Bridge series. We got the Niners and Chargers and a ton of stuff to go on there. We'll talk more about the football. So I want to talk about this. I just saw this Big Ten COVID situation, what they're going to do now if you can't play, your college can't play because of a test. You got to figure something out here. We'll figure it out right here.
Of course.
Yeah.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate text at 916-339-1140.
All right, we're back. Halftime. We appreciate you as always. We already previewed what we're talking about. Today is Kobe Bryant's birthday. Would I don't know what's the proper way to say that.
It's still his birthday.
Right. So
it's not. That's proper.
I've heard people say today would have been. I feel like it's.
I don't feel like there's a wrong answer there.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Both are correct.
We're not going to do a whole Kobe Bryant retrospective, although that would be fine. It always hits different. The Kobe thing, I think, just hits so different in Sacramento because you just hated Kobe Bryant growing up as a Kings fan. The sports hate, obviously.
Sure.
And it's not that Kobe Bryant didn't lead a life without complications. Obviously, there were things that happened with Kobe, and we know all about that. But you look back and you realize the difference between hate and sports hate, you know, and I certainly can't speak, nor would I ever for every Kings fan, mm-hmm. but I was really proud of the way of the humanity that was shown up here when that crash happened, and the way of course, no fan base in the right mind is going to let sports hate take over real life. Every fan base is going to be well.
Let me introduce you to Philadelphia. It's a city on the East Coast.
I'm not saying there are
Michael Irvin.
There aren't. Yeah. Well, but I mean, again, there's pockets. But I feel like our fan base went above and beyond and out of their way to say, hey, listen, we love to hate Kobe Bryant, but a lot of that, the majority of that hate, the vast majority of that hate, and I consider myself in this camp, was jealousy, admiration, sure. and just, you know, when Kings fans remember Kobe, a lot of things would come into play. And I think maybe the thing I heard the most was the elbow on Bibby, which, by the way, he threw that, you know, that was his elbow, but it was the refs that called the foul. But that's one of the things that stands out. I will always remember when the Kings were going to Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
and it was the first of like 12, is this the last game we're ever going to see? And Kobe, the Kings were beating the Lakers, and then Kobe help bring them back to tie it to go to OT. I remember everybody saying, we were all at the game going or watching on TV saying, oh, you know what? I hate that it's going to overtime, but let's go to 10 overtimes. Let's keep the mm-hmm. season going. This might be the last time we ever see the Sacramento Kings. And the Lakers didn't need the win. They didn't have to win the game. But to Kobe, it might as well have been they had to win in order to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that
it might as well have been game 7.
I was just going to say that was game 7 of the NBA Finals for Kobe. It was like, we're not losing this game.
No.
That's just how competitive he was.
He tore everyone's, you know, and that was
Dude, no sympathy for Sacramento possibly losing the franchise. He's like, no, he looked at that as this was an opportunity to let me rip your heart out one more time.
And he did. Mm-hmm. And that was on Here We Stay night. That was when everybody stayed afterwards. Yeah. That was when the players came out and address the crowd. But what we forget about that night is that the Kings lost to the Lakers and Kobe Bryant did it. And again, you're like, can we have this one?
Nope.
Kobe?
Nope.
But you also kind of had to tip your cap and go, nope, that's not how he functions.
Not enough guys play the game the way he did anymore.
Some of this is visual, so I apologize for that. But NBA and TNT's Twitter account just put out what I thought was a cool and brief little retrospective, some of his greatest moments on TNT. And on the floor.
Kobe Bryant, the high school kid, chosen in the first round, number 13.
You had the grades, you had the scores to go to college. Why the NBA?
It's the ultimate challenge. You know, if I was 40 years old and I'm sitting back and I'm looking back at my career, if I went to college or played on the NBA, maybe I had a great career, maybe not, and I'm still having that doubt in my mind, could I have answered that challenge? Could I have responded to the challenge of the NBA? And that's something that I didn't want to have on my shoulders, so I just really accepted it.
Kobe Bryant gets his first NBA start at the tender age of 18. Nobody's been younger.
It seems like it was just yesterday.
We will never see anybody eclipse even 81.
You're kidding me, right? It ain't gonna happen again.
Kobe!
What's up?
I just want to tell you, man, it's been beautiful to watch you this year.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I just try to do my part of the puzzle here for the Lakers.
And the opportunity's here, and I'm just very thankful for it and just want to take advantage of it.
To be the greatest Laker ever, I think that's an amazing accomplishment.
It's made a lot sweeter because I know you have 4 and I have 5.
That was a shot.
As I got older and been in the league now for 9, 10 years, you want to enjoy, you know, the camaraderie. just maturity, just growing up and just wanting to step back a little bit and just soak everything in.
Oh, I take him to a spot that I missed it. Now I'm going to tear him up.
Oh, man.
You guys are in that elite company now. What's that mean to you, Shaq?
The big legendaries.
How about it, Kobe?
I can't put it no better than that, man.
Is there anything you want to say to your fans?
Well, to my fans, thank you from the bottom of my heart, from my family's heart, for all your support, to everything, you know, on the court, off the court. Thank you for your prayers.
I think, you know, just to wrap it up, the reason why I think a lot of people, this isn't about his death, because that was not natural causes, obviously. That's a different category. But going back to his retirement, we always talk about sports mortality and how it affects you as a human.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's three steps to that that people go through. Number one, somebody you went to school with, or somebody that was in your grade at school, when they make a professional sport, someone in your city that you heard about, when they make a professional sport, so you're in your early 20s, same age as them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first step of sports mortality, where sports affects your immortality. You go, wow, somebody my age is, they're playing in the pros. They're making millions. Oh, my gosh. I gotta hurry up and be an adult. Oh, my goodness. Second, when players that you grew up watching and have vivid memories as a rookie or in college, when they retire, when they start breaking records and then they retire, then you're like, oh, my God. Yeah, I get athletes retire early, but I watched this. Like, I remember bald Kobe mm-hmm. as a rookie, or I think that was his second year. He's bald, actually. I remember Kobe as a rookie, though. Like they mentioned, 18 years old, throwing up air balls, bricking stuff, hearing people say, should he gone to school? It is the moment too big for him? Because you were watching this literal kid, legal adult, but kid, grow up on the basketball court in front of your eyes. Yeah. With, by the way, a lot of pressure being a Los Angeles Laker.
I remember Kobe winning the dunk contest as a rookie.
Yeah.
I remember, to yep. your point, remember his, I believe it's his second year in the league, he's voted in as the All-Star
yep.
game. And everyone's like, Kobe Bryant
yeah, what are
has
you doing?
No business being in an All-Star game uh-huh. matched up with Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember all of that.
Yep. And you feel that way when someone retires. And then the third one, which we haven't gotten to yet, I'm talking about you and me, JR generation, but you know, people in my dad's generation have, and your dad's, I'm sure, is when players you rooted for growing up start passing away of natural causes. Now, as I said in the beginning, Kobe does not count in this situation because of the way he passed. But you know, when Mickey Mantle passed away, that was mm-hmm. my dad's Will Clark.
Right.
A lot of people's, you know, Will Clark.
Yeah, a lot of people in that generation grew up Mickey Mantle stands.
You start, exactly. And you start when you, and we haven't gone through that yet, but then that's where you go, mm-hmm. okay. Now we're, sports has a funny way, and I think that's part of the appeal of sports, of really having real life effects on your brain. And the thing with Kobe, he didn't meet a natural passing, which is a tragedy. But what I hope, we always try to look for the silver lining in the darkest of darkest, darkest days. Looking back on Kobe passing now from, you know, afar, I hope that Kobe's passing, you know, we talked about Len Bias, and again, that's a far different thing, but sure. how many lives he probably saved with his passing because people then were afraid of what he did. I hope that I try to look back at Kobe's life and think of two things. Number one, doesn't matter how rich you are, doesn't matter how successful you are. It can come at any time.
Sure.
And number two, it can come at any time. So right. Seize the day. Today could be your last. Live it to its fullest. Take advantage of it.
Yeah. And it's always interesting to look back at those who passed way too young because yeah. they're forever young. And so it's kind of this double-edged sword, right? Because that vision you've always had of them, right? That there's no way to change that now, right?
No.
You don't. It's different where, you know, you can watch old highlights of Bill Russell playing, but also we see Bill Russell as an old man.
Yes, we do.
But Kobe Bryant, we're never going to see as an old man. And so, again, it's a double-edged sword because, like you said, your own personal memories and stuff, those that person's always there. Like, there's going to be no facial change or anything. But also, it's sad because we should have been able to see him grow as an old man and see what he did later on in his life. And it's just, it's a really weird place to be in as a fan.
It is a weird
and
place.
A human being.
It is a weird place. And it's honestly one of my pet topics that I don't know if enjoy is the right word, Jay, but it's something I'm very interested in, is what you just brought up. And I wasn't planning on going here, but mm-hmm. it's an uncomfortable conversation because you never want to make light of, and you never when you try to say something like, let's look at the bright side involving somebody passing away, you want to be very careful not to be insensitive. But with all, you know, this word's a tough conversation because with all heart and thoughts in the right place, and I hope people can discern when I say this, when, to your point, when somebody passes early, whether it was Kobe, whether it was Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison.
Sure.
Chris Cornell.
Any big public figure.
Any big public figure, when they pass early and when they pass in their prime, it is a tragedy full stop. But they are also immortalized.
Yep.
Like you said, we don't have to watch, or you could argue we don't get to watch. We don't have the privilege of watching. But you don't see them grow old. You don't see them go through the pains of old age. You don't see your heroes, these immortals, to use the word again, you don't see them age. You know, the joke was always you never saw, or you were never going to see the Doors with Jim Morrison or Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, whatever. They were never going to play the casinos.
Right.
They were always going to play stadiums. That's how you'd remember them. You never saw them making the tours of the they're immortal. And you could argue that in some cases, that immortality, they're held in a higher regard. To be quite honest, because you have less, you're not going to screw up anything. You're going to leave.
Well, you saw the peak. There's no valley.
There is no valley.
There's not.
You're
leaving on top. We don't remember those last few albums of your career that were just kind of trash.
Right.
And then you just kind of faded away into obscurity. We don't remember those last few years of your career or your life where you just didn't really do much. We just remember you, like I said, up top. And
yes.
So those people are always like that's the, you got to be that standard. It's like, well, it's kind of unfair, but also I get it.
Well, and that's not to say that, listen, if we all had our way, of course, I wanted to see Anthony Bourdain at 82.
Sure.
I wanted to see Chris Cornell with a long gray beard. You know, these are all our heroes growing up.
But I think that's because you look at them as humans, where I think there's still some people who look at athletes, musicians, actors, whichever, again, in public light, like they just look at them like that, where it's like you want to see the human being just like all the rest of us. Immortalized, but also like we are all mortal, and it's I think reassuring sometimes as we get older to see that they get older too.
Yes.
You know, and they go through this, they're human just like us.
Kobe Bryant, his birthday today, and so yeah, no way we weren't going to mention that at all, but we move on now to halftime.
Let's skip halftime.
We want to skip halftime?
It's like 7:45.
Oh, it is 7:45.
We're past half. Goodness. We're past the halfway point. The Kennel Dog Show already happened.
Yes.
Sparky did the trick on the court. Back to the game.
Getting a lot of texts of from people on 916-339-1140. I'm not going to go down this road, but people are bringing up people that are currently alive that may not have had a great second half to the life and saying, well, you know, if they had passed at 27, then they would be I don't want to get too
dark. Let's not get too dark.
Yeah, let's not
it's
get too
Monday.
Dark. We're celebrating.
Right.
We're celebrating and also pointing out that, anyways, we're talking about immortality. Let me talk to you real quick, since we are going to skip halftime, Jay. Let me talk to you real quick about the Big Ten COVID forfeit policy this year. In collaboration and communication with the Big Ten Conference Athletic Directors, the Task Force for Emerging Infectious Diseases, and so many more, effective today, the conference has determined that if one of its member institutions is unable to play a conference contest due to COVID-19, that contest shall be declared a forfeit and will not be rescheduled. That contest shall be considered a loss for the team impacted by COVID-19 and a win for its opponent in the conference standings. If both of the two competing teams are unable to participate in a scheduled conference competition due to COVID-19, and as a result, the competition is unable to occur on the calendar day on which it is scheduled, the competition shall be declared a no contest. When they say no contest, I assume that means it will just have never happened.
Yeah.
No loss, no win, no tie. I don't like bringing up criticisms without offering better solutions. I hate when people do that, so I'm about to do it. This is a little worrisome. Not that I don't appreciate the conferences further incentivizing vaccinations and all of that. But let's be real clear, not to use this as a weapon as so many do. But you can still have breakthrough cases when vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have two teams that are 100% vaccinated and still have to go through obviously lesser quarantine and testing. But you could conceivably have a wave of breakthrough infections and a team loses. Now, the odds of that happening are quite low. But as we've seen, for example, with the Yankees, you have breakthrough infections.
Of course.
It happens. What worries me is that in today's day and age of college football, especially when everything is money, everything and the fact that you're playing 11, 12 games total per year, plus a bowl game if you're lucky, every single game matters so much. This is very much going to foster some cheating. This is going to turn into a situation. We're going to hear a story this year about an institution hiding a COVID case, chalking it up as a cold or a flu or, mm-hmm. or an injury and hiding them. Because if you're an institution that is willing to bend the rules a little bit, and we know in college football there are some, and you've got your third backup, defensive lineman or your backup kicker that for whatever reason caught COVID.
Sure.
And you're looking at playing, the University of Nebraska coming up on Saturday, which wouldn't be, you get my point. I think it lends itself, and I don't know what the better solution is, Jay, but this worries me when you turn it into a loss. But I think that's what's going to start happening, and you're already seeing this, for example, in the NFL and other games, not necessarily turning it into a loss, but now you're going to see this year if games are lost due to COVID. And what I mean by that is if a ton of players can't play and you lose because your skill level is less or you have less of a depth chart, all of a sudden the fans that are – I think a lot of the fans that are saying let them do what they want are going to change their tune when they start losing their bets the game.
Especially, yes, when they start losing the bets. And also those college football programs are so, like, I know on professional levels we have very deep ties to our teams.
Right.
College football is different, man. It really is a different beast. And you're right. Those people live and breathe that. And if they start losing games because of that, they're going to throw a fit.
They are.
And I agree with you on a lot of sense of, yeah, you could possibly see some cheating, but I'm also going back to your first point. I don't know if there's a better solution right now.
I understand that. And it sucks,
because you're right, because no matter what, there are issues with the way they're doing it. I can't argue that, but I also can't argue a better solution right now, and that's why I have a problem being critical of it, so to speak, is because I don't have a better solution. We're in an unfortunate place where the vaccination hesitancy is what it is.
Right.
And so it's like, well, what else are they to do? You know, how else are they to incentivize teams to go, get inoculated? I don't know if there's a better solution.
I don't know that there is either, which is why I stumbled a little
bit.
It's a tough call.
It's such a complex issue that I think people try to like simplify sometimes. And I think that's kind of is that I think way too many people have tried to simplify complex things, and this is one of those things.
Yeah, it's extremely complex. And again, as somebody who supports vaccines and blah, 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 mm-hmm. and I've made a lot of people angry. You listen, facts don't care about your feelings, I think some people like to say. You can be vaccinated and still contract and spread COVID.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where it becomes a problem. That's where it becomes a
and I'm like you, that's where it's like, man, if I have a team that's fully vaxxed, we've done all of the stuff we are supposed
correct.
To do, and we get a breakthrough case and we have to forfeit, you're right. That's not fair. It's not fair.
It's not fair is having the skill level, the speed, and the arm of Trey Lance.
Dropping back to pass. Looking deep down the right sideline. Shearfield's got it. He's got plenty of room down the right sideline inside the 20 to the 15-yard line. I don't know what happened with the Charger defense. They played like kind of bracket coverage, but someone released Shearfield and – Trey Lance put it on his numbers.
Well, then you get a touchdown.
Lance dropping back to pass, throwing, touchdown. He caught it. Mohamed Sanu got it. He went to the ground. There was a big roar of the crowd, but it's the Niner fans that roared. So there was a fastball that was held on, and the Niners find the end zone, and Trey Lance leads them. It wasn't the two-minute drill, the 57-second drill.
And
hey, yo.
How you doing there? He's also fast.
Fake the give inside. Lance stepping up in the pocket. He's got room to run. At the 45, you see that speed to get to the corner. He's got the first down out to the 48-yard line. And there's a burst, there's a read, and then there's an athleticism that's fun to watch.
Finally, one more touchdown.
Lance on third and four, dropping back to pass, firing over the middle. Travis Benjamin's got a touchdown.
So it's almost like I want to talk about everything but Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo because that's all anyone's talking about. There were other things that went on. I thought Wayne Gallman looked very good in this game. I'm excited that we might see Fred Warner hit the field a little bit next week. There's lots of things to go over here with this team. But you do have to talk about Garoppolo and Lance because Trey Lance is such an interesting situation. We talked about this a little bit last week because he went to North Dakota State. He went to
he played all game last year.
Yeah.
Just one.
You couple the fact that he went to that small of a school. You couple the fact that he, as you said, played one game last year. You combine that with what the 49ers traded to move up to three. And then with everybody, 80% of everybody thinking they're taking Mac Jones. They take Trey Lance. It's really, really, really a boomer bust for them. Because if Trey Lance ends up being, everyone wants to say Patrick Mahomes. That's just, maybe, but come on. That's reaching a bit.
It's wishful thinking at this point.
But if Trey Lance ends up being a guy that's a Pro Bowl, 10-year, great quarterback type of dude, which I do think is very much in play.
Also hard to find.
A little bit. You're going to look back and you're going to look at John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and say, you guys could have held on. And this is where I really kind of, who knows, if Trey Lance is a bust, I won't be saying this. But you really kind of have to admire that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were very comfortable in their jobs. Everybody knew or acknowledged that the Niners sucked last year because of injuries more than anything else. They could have come into this year and done absolutely nothing. They could have picked number 12, could have picked up something to help.
Sure.
Gone in with Jimmy Garoppolo and whoever backing him up.
Who, by the way, just made a Super Bowl two seasons prior. Uh-huh.
And they would have been probably, again, assuming everything's healthy this year, it's pretty much still the same team. But they went, you know what? Let's do this thing that is potentially going to end our careers with this team, totally sacrifice the future, fill a position that we don't necessarily need to have filled right now. Let's take a chance because we want to think beyond this year and next year, which is one reason why when you take away how they both got their contract extended. When you take away the pressure of having to do everything today because you may not be the guy tomorrow, you have to kind of credit not only Jed York, but also obviously Lynch and Shanahan. If it works. If it does not work.
If it works. Right now, though, again, and we're talking about two preseason games, not playing the full game, not playing first team, et cetera, right? But you see the intangibles he has right off top that would make him a Kyle Shanahan perennial guy. Like, you see it.
Sure.
You see why they drafted him. But like you said, we don't know. It's going to be interesting to find out. We've seen little glimpses of what this kid can do. I mean, throwing off that back leg on the run, that's incredible. His arm is incredible. His movement is incredible. He looked, after those first few series, much more confident in the pocket, and when he had time, looked really good, whether it was scrambling or throwing in the pocket. So I think this is going to end up working out for Kyle Shanahan.
I wonder what a Twitter poll would look like amongst Niner fans. If you polled them today and said, if you could go back in time, would you have kept the 12 pick? I wonder if Niner fans would be, what that percentage would say, no, we want to keep Trey Lance. Anyways, more on that in a little bit. In the meantime, I can tell you, my guy Shelby doesn't take chances. Nope, not at all. He's not taking chances with your finances. There's no, hey, we'll probably work it out. There's no, there's none of that. Shelby knows what he's doing. He's not taking chances with your finances. He didn't take any chances with mine. You know exactly what you're getting into. He tells you what's going to happen, and it happens. It's that simple. A lot of people talking to Shelby lately about cash-out refis. You got a ton of equity in your house, almost certainly. Pay off debt. Do a house project. Upgrade your house. Heck, start a business with some cash. A lot of people, I didn't know this. You can get a lower interest rate taking money out of your house if you want to start a side business than you can with those small business loans. A lot of different things you can do. Everybody can use cash right now, and odds are you're sitting on it. By that, I mean your home, not the cash. Shelby can help you unlock your house. Unlock it not to step in the front door. Unlock its financial benefits. Go to refinancewithshelby.com to find all that out. He'll pick up the phone. Refinancewithshelby.com. NMLS number 279051, BRA number 0186-4354.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, the Giants take the Bay Bridge series, but man, was it a good series. We got a big milestone as well in baseball. And let's talk about the Kings' schedule just a little bit. I know Jay's here for that. We'll start that next.